The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Welcome back. Continuing our discussions, we have with us here now Dr. Vanessa Hari. Good morning to you once again.
Hi, good morning, Satish.
Nice to have you with us. Well, we discussed the elements of what's taking place and why it's taking place and what we can expect. Our discussion now with you focus on, well, what should people be doing in times like these confronted with that kind of heat? So we all know that it's going to run for a couple of days, and the heat is intense, and Colleen explained to us why it's happening. What are some of the things, let's start off, I'm sure that you would have been hearing from persons, people would have been coming, and the fraternity would be discussing what's going on and what are some of the things people need to do. What are some of the things people need to do, or rather shouldn't be doing as well?
Yes, very true. There has been a lot of discussion about this. I've had even patients complaining to me and messaging me about what can they do. I think the first thing that we can say, and to be really clear about, is we all have to be very aware of this problem. We have to know the risks and know who is at risk and what we can do about it. In fact, you know, the WHO and other medical organizations and publications are the first to say that heat exhaustion, heat stroke, silent or invisible killer. And knowing what it is, the signs, and who is at risk is the first step. In fact, it's thought that heat, you know, contributes to just under 500,000 deaths per year worldwide. And this number is even felt to be underreported, particularly in low and middle income countries. And we all heard about the heat wave in Europe last year that is thought to have killed over 60,000 people. So this is not a small problem. This is a worldwide problem, and it affects us here in the Caribbean as well. I think the first thing people need to be aware of is who is particularly at risk of suffering from heat problems. And that tends to be the very young, so babies in particular, or very young children, and then at the other extreme, elderly people. Sometimes you don't think about this, but pregnant women are also at risk of heat exhaustion and heat stress, as well as outdoor workers, people who work in construction outdoors at different times in the day, and not just outdoor, but people who are in an indoor situation without having proper ventilation, without having AC. So those especially are the at-risk population. Also people who have chronic diseases. If you have heart disease, you are diabetic, you have chronic kidney disease or renal failure, or even respiratory conditions, you are more at risk of suffering from these heat-related conditions. So Satish, some of these heat conditions tend to be heat stress or heat stroke and heat exhaustion, and they could vary from just feeling thirsty, a bit shaky, you know, your breathing increases a bit more rapidly, to eventually getting confused, having a seizure, going into a coma. And these are things that we all need to be very, very aware of. So the first thing is being aware and understanding who is at risk and how we can avoid that. And most people, once they start, you know, feeling a bit hot, feeling a bit rapid breathing and thirsty, they will then get out of the heat and take certain measures to cool themselves. But when we go to the other extreme of heat stroke or heat stress, that's when the body now is unable to control its own temperature. So even the sweating mechanisms fail, you can't cool down, and that can lead to irreversible organ damage. So yes, it is a huge problem for sure.
Have we been seeing these cases coming to the medical fraternity? Do you have that information?
I don't have the numbers, but yes, even colleagues and other medical societies have commented that more people are complaining of these symptoms, particularly the at-risk population, even in pregnancy that, you know, that I see. Some women don't realize that they are at risk, and they are at risk of premature delivery as well as low birth weight just by virtue of heat stress. Mm-hmm. So it can affect anyone. Knowing the signs, like I mentioned before, the thirstiness, you know, the rapid breathing, feeling a bit nauseous, then getting a bit confused, dry mouth, dry lips, those are some of the signs of heat stress. But there are things we can do about it. The people we worry about are the ones who can't sometimes help themselves, you know, the babies, very elderly people, or those with chronic diseases. And of course, the first tip with any type of hot weather is to stay as hydrated as possible. Keeping hydrated with water, preferably. You want to cut back on any alcoholic drinks, any sugar drinks, and really limit the hot drinks with, you know, caffeine, coffee and tea, but water. And a healthy adult should really be drinking up to, you know, 1.5 to 2 liters a day. And during this hot weather, that has been shown that you could increase to about 3 liters a day. That number may vary for people who have other diseases. But keeping hydrated is the number one thing that you can do during this hot weather. The other thing I think we have to be really sensible about is, you know, when do we schedule outdoor activities? Mm-hmm. And we should limit physical activity, you know, not to the middle of the day. You're not going to jog around the park at midday. You're going to wait, you know, for it to cool down, because you have to be really aware of the risks of doing that. Heat stress can creep up on someone very easily and you're not aware. And then, you know, someone can become very, very unwell. Even simple things, checking on your elderly relatives, you know, making sure you have a key for someone's house, so that you know if they are unwell, if their house isn't well ventilated, you can check on them, things like that. I mean, pacing yourself during the day is very important. I mean, those of us who have to go and, you know, drop off kids to school, pick up kids for school, you can't change those things, but you can ensure that you have water with you, you know, stay in a shady area. And of course, wearing sunscreen is really important. And sunscreen should be broad spectrum. And on the bottle should be, it should say UVA and UVB protection. So these are just some of the general measures that, you know, we advise the general public to be aware of.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. We in the Caribbean, let's deal with here at home, we find this to be so uncharacteristic that I've heard the discussion. People saying, we always have heat in the country. The place always hot. Just another one of those things we have to deal with. But the intricacies that you're talking about heat stroke and people suffering the effects of the heat, we need to educate ourselves much more, because sometimes we just pass it off as, well, That's just another deal, you know. We just deal with it as we've been dealing with it all the while over the years, but this is different. And some of the symptoms that you spoke about, the dizziness and the thirst and so on, people may be experiencing them and not realizing to themselves, well, listen, this is I don't want to say heat, well, it's not heat stroke, but definitely me suffering because of the heat that I'm experiencing. It's having a different effect on my body than it usually would. You've given all the advice already about hydrating yourself and limiting your time in the sun and your exposure and all these things. It's worrisome, or at least it should be, because you have some instances. Let's take schools, for instance. Schools are in session, and not every school is air-conditioned, so children have to deal with this sweltering heat, and half of them don't have fans, they don't have proper facilities and all these kinds of things. So it's concerning, and one would hope that the advice that you gave here this morning, that the Ministry of Education would give to teachers, to identify students who may be suffering from the ill effects of heat, because you can never tell. Children sit in doing their work and the heat takes them, because generally it's hot. But as Colleen explained, we have less wind, so it's more difficult this time around. Doctor, as we wrap up our interview, because we're almost out of time, So some advice, even though you've given some already, to persons who they don't have a choice. They have to go about their daily lives. They're working in conditions that they can't really get away from. The heat is there upon them. What are one or two little guidelines that people should definitely make a rule of thumb that they engage in at this point in time?
Yes. So as I said, number one is to stay as hydrated as possible. You know, keep that water bottle with you all the time. Refill it as much as you are able to. Your clothing is really important. You want to wear the appropriate clothing, which is loose fitting. Cotton, preferably lighter colors, really help with ventilation. Stay in a ventilated area, even if you're not AC, at least stay under a shady area. If you have to be in the heat, the sunscreen is very important as well. And one thing I can't stress enough, and you mentioned about school children, and of course babies, is you're absolutely right. You know, these children are not aware of these signs, and we need to be. And we all know the risks of leaving children and pets, but in cars, even if you think it's just for a minute and you have the windows down, that's an absolute no-no to leave anyone in a car or a vehicle at all in this hot weather or in any weather at all. But yes, you're right. I mean, sometimes we can't, we still have to perform our normal daily activities. We can't stay in an AC environment all day, but it's limiting extreme physical activity during this time, wearing the appropriate clothing, keeping hydrated, sunscreen, and of course, you know, really being aware of that at-risk population, the babies, the school kids, and the very elderly. As Colleen did say, this is, it's unlike what we may have experienced before. So just saying it's just another day, you know, what are we all making a fuss about now is not good enough indeed. We need to be aware of the signs, look out for them. And at the end of the day, if you feel yourself being exhausted at the end of the day, part of that is actually heat stress. You maybe did not hydrate enough, you know, wearing the appropriate clothes, what you did. So it is hard, it is difficult, but awareness is a big thing, keeping hydrated and, of course, keeping cool.
That's, we're going to have to leave it this morning. Thank you so much for being with us, Dr. Vanessa.
Thanks again.
Harry. Great advice, and we do hope that people take heed, because this is not a normal occurrence and you can't treat it like you normally would the regular heat on a regular day. Thank you once again for being with us here this morning. Valuable information.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.